Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 91, recorded November 3rd, 2025.
Pushing 100.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Brewster.
All right. I'm sorry this is a later episode than normal. November 3rd. I wanted to record the week of Halloween, but I fucked up.
Yeah, so, shit happens.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started with some horror news. There's a new trailer, number 2, for the movie Keeper. I know we talked about this one previously.
So they're doing a triple movie too, and they're showing say Long Legs, the Monkey, and the Keeper, I think, all in the same.
Yeah, they're in the theater. I did see that.
Yeah. I don't know where it was playing, but
yeah. It's because it's directed by Osgood Perkins.
Yep.
And of course, Tatiana Maslany is in it too. But the trailer number 2 looks really good.
I haven't seen it. I have to check it out.
Osgood Perkins, man. He's got, I think he's got like a first look deal with Neon Pictures now too.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So anything that he comes up with, Neon gets first right of refusal.
Yep.
Sweet. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Silent Hill, Return to Silent Hill, hosted a behind the scenes clip.
I watched that today, Sal.
That was pretty good.
They showed the guy was playing Eddie.
He looks almost like the character in the game.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
The girl that played Laura. Yeah, yep.
So I'm very excited for that movie.
I hope they do. They're going to do like the meat locker room.
I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they do as much as they can because. Yeah.
That was such a fun part in the game.
Yeah.
When you're running, you know, trying to hide.
It's one of my favorite Silent Hill games was Silent Hill 2.
Oh, yeah.
I also like Silent Hill 3. What was the one that with was the
carnival one? Yeah, the 3.
Yeah, with the bunnies. The
bunnies. That was creepy. That was creepy the first
time. That was creepy as fuck.
You walked in there, you're like, oh, and you got to walk through a little bit of a dark ride, I think, in there.
There's another trailer also posted for a film called Dust Bunny.
I saw that.
I have a, why are my notes not word wrapping? What the fuck is happening here?
You didn't use AI. Hold on a second.
I hate AI. Text.
Now it's really
like I said word wrap and then like. For every time I restart this app, the word wrap is not there. All right. The synopsis for this movie is a 10-year-old Aurora has a mysterious neighbor, played by Mads Mikkelsen, who kills real-life monsters. He's a hitman for hire, so when Aurora needs help killing the monster she believes ate her entire family, she procures his services. Hmm. Suspecting that her parents may have fallen victim to assassins gunning for him, Aurora's neighbor guiltily takes the job. Now, to protect her, he'll need to battle an onslaught of assassins and accept that some monsters are real.
Hmm. Interesting.
The trailer looked pretty good. And Mads Mikkelsen, come on, that guy is awesome. He's an amazing actor.
Faux shoe.
In a recent article in Deadline, Jennifer's Body director, Karen Kuzman, teased Diablo Cody wrote a fun and crazy sequel.
Really?
Well,
interesting. Yes.
She also says she's very giddy over the fact that it's become a cult classic.
It's a fun movie.
It's a great movie. I love that movie. And I feel bad that it didn't do good in theaters. Like, this happens pretty frequently with horror films where they'll play in theaters, nobody will go see them, They won't make all their money back. Yeah. Any chance of a sequel is dashed. And then all of a sudden it's this giant, awesome film that everybody loves afterwards.
Yep.
You know? A horror comic book that I think I told you guys about a couple of years ago called Something Is Killing the Children is getting a movie and a series adaptation, according to Hollywood Reporter.
Nice.
The summary of this storyline is when the children of Archer's Peak begin to go missing, everything seems hopeless. Most children never return, but the ones that do have terrible stories, impossible stories of terrifying creatures that live in the shadows. Their only hope of finding and eliminating the threat is the arrival of a mysterious stranger, one who believes the children and claims to see what they can see. Her name is Erica Slaughter. She kills monsters.
Interesting.
It's a really great comic book series. I have the trade paperbacks because I was late to the game when that came out. But I've been reading the trade paperbacks, and man, what a great comic. I'm really excited. I was hoping that something like this would happen with that comic, and that's pretty awesome.
Sweet.
Yep. Cool.
According to Facebook, Mike Flanagan has posted that his Carrie series has wrapped production.
On Netflix? Or no, he switched over to Prime, didn't he?
I believe this one is Prime, is it not? Let's see. Let me double check that. Because
he signed. I was sort of disappointed because he was doing good with Netflix, and I think he switched teams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like Netflix, so, you know. Let's see what it says here, because I don't remember.
It's got to be Prime. Like I said, I think his contract ran out. But you got to watch commercials on Prime now.
Bastards.
Dude, that's the thing that really pisses me off. I had a Prime membership and video was included, and now it's like video, but you gotta watch fucking commercials. Like, you need more money for me? They raise the Prime price every fucking year.
And it's like 3 minutes in the beginning, and then I don't think they do anything in the middle or anything. I know it sucks.
No, as a matter of fact, I watched Frankenhooker the other day on Amazon Prime. They had a commercial at the beginning and a commercial a third of the way through the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had that happen. Bastards.
That was a trauma movie, right?
Frankenhooker is a great film.
Yeah.
That's one of those trauma films that makes you go, actually, it's not that bad.
Yeah, for trauma, you know what I mean? They actually sort of put some money into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Need a date?
Yeah.
Want a good time?
Yeah.
Got some money?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that one, Chris?
I don't think it doesn't sound like I did. Like I'm not catching the references.
Oh, you have to see it.
I recognize the title, but I don't know if I've ever actually watched it. What's it on right now?
The whole reason it's on Amazon Prime. But the whole reason I watched it when I was a kid is because there's a half naked prostitute on the. Yeah. I do remember the cover
in the video store. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I think I was always worried to rent it because it's called Frankenhooker. Yeah. Like, how am I going to slide that one by?
It wasn't as bad as you think, though. I think the one scene where she's having a party or something, or he was having a party. Yeah, that's when she dies or something. But that's like the
with all those naked hookers.
Yep.
Well, that one, and at the end, the boob monster. There was that monster that was like a stack of tits, and it had like an arm sticking out of the side of it.
Sounds like a great movie.
it's a funny film. His girlfriend gets killed in a lawnmower accident, and he saves her head and some of her body parts, and then he, you know, winds up killing a bunch of hookers to put together a new body.
Yeah, he likes.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, the one's boobs, one's butt. Yeah, he puts all these.
Like the forearm is a black woman.
Yeah.
the hand is like just a white.
Yep.
Is one of her. The hand and her head were hers, so they're like white because they were partially decayed. But it was an interesting film.
It does sound good. I'm going to look that up.
Brendan Hines, Tatia Maslany, Johnny Knoxville, and Heather Graham and others are joining Osgood Perkins' next film, The Young People.
Oh, nice.
Which is going to be at Neon Pictures, according to Deadline.
None of those people you mentioned are that young.
No. But according to Deadline, they have an exclusive article saying that all of those people are going to be in this new film by Osgood Perkins called The Young People. The new additions round out the ensemble cast joining previously announced was Lola Tung and Nico Parker. Perkins is directing, and he also wrote the script.
Good.
Young People is the first project under the First Look deal between Neon and Osgood Perkins under the production banner Phobos. Phobos and Marx, the latest collaboration following the success of Long Legs, which was the year's highest grossing independent film at $75 million domestically, and The Monkey, which marked Neon's second biggest opening weekend in the box office. The two are also partnering on Perkins' next film, Keeper, which Neon is releasing November 14th. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein has released its final trailer. You should check it out. It's pretty good. I'm excited for that film.
Me too. Not feeling it, Craig?
I guess I am. It's been done 1,000 times. I don't.
I like this Pinocchio adaptation.
No, I know. I'll like it. It'll be darker than most, I think. But
I watched an interview with Christoph Waltz, and he's in it, and he said he never read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and the interviewer said, oh, it's like high school reading material, and I remember in high school I had to read Frankenstein, and he said, you know what, it's not good to read in high school because you really don't get a full concept of what the story is actually trying to tell you, but he said once he read it, he loved it, and he loved being in the movie. He said Guillermo del Toro did a fantastic version of Frankenstein, and he, as an actor, couldn't be more proud of being part of it.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. I think that is all I have for news. You guys got anything you want to talk about?
Scream 7 trailer. You guys see that?
Yes.
I thought it looked pretty good.
When did that come out? Was that this month?
Friday. Friday. I think, or Thursday. Thursday or Friday.
I missed that.
Oh, it looks good. I'm looking forward to it. And I think it drops like in February, I think, is when it's going to be in the theaters. So nice. That's the only thing I had was that I was excited when that trailer dropped.
Yeah, it looks like Scream 7 is going to be released February 27th, 2026.
Oh, so late February then.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sometimes these films that go on and on and on and on. I'm just hoping it's good.
I've enjoyed the last few.
Yeah, like, I haven't been disappointed in any of them.
Yeah, they weren't that bad. They weren't that bad.
Unlike the Halloween trilogy that
That went south after 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 wasn't sort of connected to it, but
well, the new trilogy, Halloween Returns,
the Danny McBride
ends. Yeah, the Danny McBride produced ones.
Yeah,
the first one surprised me, and then the next two were shit. Yeah. Well, I didn't even watch the third one because I was so disappointed in the second one.
All right, so I wanted to touch on something in the news, and I didn't put it in here because I didn't feel like it was noteworthy. At least at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys know I collect movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Specifically 80s films and horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite places to buy collector's editions has always been Shout Factory.
They do good work.
And Yeah, they make great, like the They Live 4K revision. You know, they take camera negatives, they clean them up, they make these great prints. I got Shot Factory, pretty much almost all the good collections that I have are from Shot Factory. But the other day, like, they had this massive sale. Everything was like $9.99.
Wow.
And I bought a bunch of new films, you know, cheap. But I was like, I wonder why they're so cheap all of a sudden. Some of these were even brand new releases. And then everyone on the internet was saying, hey, Shout Factory might be going out of business.
Really?
And I'm like, nah, because they had a couple restorations they were working on. And then last week I saw they canceled two of the restorations.
Hmm.
Then I'm like, all right, now what the hell's going on? Well, just now I clicked on my link for Shout Factory. And it popped up as groove.com. And it says, Groove, welcome to Shout Factory.
So they got bought out?
Shout Factory's gone. They got bought out by Groove.
Hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What is Groove? I don't know Groove. Are they...
Groove is decent. That's where I got my Nightmare on Elm Street collection, all seven films on 4K. But I'm a little bummed that they...
Hmm. Well, maybe there won't be a drop in product quality.
Yeah, I'm guessing not, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't rock the boat, if they keep the same people that were working on everything and just put their name on it.
But they dropped the prices on all these, like, because they had a collection of, like, you know, they called Roger Corman Cult Classics.
Mm. Yep.
Roger Corman makes some fucked up films. Like, they have four movies on one disc. They have the Nurses collection. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Candy Stripe Nurses, mm-mm, Night Nurses, Private Duty Nurses, or Young Nurses.
No.
It's about nurses? It's
part of the sexploitation films.
Like the Ilsa movies.
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. All this stuff is now on Groove.
Mm. Hmm.
Roger Corman Classics, Rock and Roll High School.
Yep.
Yeah, little bummed.
R.I.P. Shout Factory.
All right. Yeah, R.I.P. Shout Factory and Scream Factory. What a shame. That's crazy. Some crazy shit right there. All right. Let's take a look at the five great horror flicks to watch. Chris, what are we looking at this week? What's the streaming service?
Disney+/Hulu. Because I think a lot of people get to see the same shit on both of them.
Well, Hulu's going away, right? Disney announced that they're collapsing Hulu.
They keep saying Disney. That. Oh, is it January? Is that when it's gone?
Yep.
Wow. Although right now I'm upset with Disney because they're fighting with YouTube TV, and so all
I don't get ABC or ESPN right now.
Yep, fuckers, greedy bastards.
Yes, they are.
So anyway. Five movies to watch on Disney Plus, in no particular order. It's just five movies to watch. So the first one I got is Alien. Plus they got Alien Earth on there. So
do they even have a ton of horror stuff or no?
They do. Yes, they do.
Okay,
quite a extensive horror library.
Think about it. It's all 20th Century Fox, bro.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So
how about the Dark Hole? Is that on there? That should be on your list if they have it on there.
Dark Hole. That sounds like my neighbor's.
No, the Black Hole.
Oh. Black Hole is not on there.
It's not.
Nor is Dark Hole.
I don't know what's going on with your link there, Chris, but like your network must be shit. You've turned into...
Yeah.
I'm taking a screenshot. No. I got to take a screenshot to show you this shit.
Pixel face.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Like your shit is fucked.
I don't know, man.
Can't
like
see,
I got
can't see the white of your eyes.
I got like a full like thing here on my computer, and I'm actually in the room with the Wi-Fi.
And he's right; it's getting worse.
It's getting worse as you talk, bro. What is happening?
I don't know, man. I don't know. So anyway, number two is Barbarian. Great flick.
Nice. Love that. Yo, I wish that one was available on 4K, and even. What's his name? Who wrote and directed that? Is like he's pissed off that it's not available.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Cregger.
Yeah,
Zach Cregger. Yeah.
I wonder, maybe, I mean, eventually they probably will, though, I would think, right? Maybe. Yeah. All right. Number three, Bone Tomahawk. It's a great flick.
Goody, goody. Yeah, it is.
Western horror. You don't get too many of those.
No.
Number four, Color Out of Space. Great fucked up movie. We reviewed that, right? Didn't we review Color Out of Space?
Oh, yeah.
And my number five movie to watch on Disney Plus is Evil Dead, the 2013 version.
That was a goodie.
It was. I
totally
really
different, right?
I really
totally
like that different. One.
A lot different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the only thing the same was the Necronomicon, right?
In the cabin. I mean, but even the cabin wasn't exactly the same, but...
Yeah.
And that's my five flicks to watch on Disney Plus.
Or who? What was your second one again?
Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Oh, yeah. Love that film.
Yep.
I sent you a telegram with your screenshot.
Telegram.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is because, like I said, like I'm in the room with the Wi-Fi. My computer has like all of the little, like, you know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Maybe they're like throttling me. Oh, Jesus. Dude, it's like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Next thing I'm just going to disappear.
Melt. Looks like you're melting.
Nice. Okay, so now we have our top five list. The top five list this month is the top five vampire films post-1999. So you can include 1999, but everything after 1999, nothing prior to that.
All mine are after. Quite a bit after, too.
This month, it is Sal, Chris, Cray. I will start my number five. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Fantastic. Where was it? Was that Israeli?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. No. Yeah, I believe it was Israeli. Okay. I was thinking for a minute there that it was Iraqi or something, but no, it's Israeli.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, right? I don't remember. I sort of remember. I don't know.
It's definitely going to make me look it up.
Middle Eastern.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Really?
I don't believe so, no.
Don't they do...
It's on the Shudder.
Is it all... I forget. Is it all subtitled? I think they switch over to some English or... I don't remember.
There's some broken English in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where's it on right now?
Oh, it's Iranian. Yes, it is Iranian. Okay. That's correct.
All right.
Because it was kind of... I thought it was Iranian or something, but it says it is the first Iranian Western vampire. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's a very good film.
Black and white, too, right?
Black and white, and it's creepy and awesome. And
I own it. Yep.
If you're looking for a vampire film that'll creep you out, you got to watch A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
All right, then. I'll add to the list.
Tonight, tonight.
Probably won't be tonight.
That came out in 2014.
I think it's a short one, too. Maybe an hour and 40, hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not that long. It's an Iraqi film, but for some reason I feel like... It's an Iraqi film, but it was not filmed in Iraq.
Iranian, you said, no?
Iranian, I'm sorry, an Iranian film, yeah. But I feel like it wasn't filmed. I think, like, the big thing about this one was when it came out, it was, like, a Western Iranian film, but not filmed in Iran. Huh. Yeah.
Iran so far away.
It doesn't say...
Maybe they filmed it in Israel. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, pretty freaking awesome. It was filmed in Southern California. There you go. Hmm. Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It was shot over the course of 24 days in the town of Taft in Kern County, Southern California.
Look at that.
That's right. Yeah. No, I remember watching a documentary about it a couple of years ago because I was so impressed by that film.
Yeah.
Like, dude, for a foreign film, this is fucking amazing.
Yep.
All right. My number four is From Dusk Till Dawn, 1999. That's my only 1999.
Oh, yeah. I would have put that, but I didn't. I did everything after 99.
My number three, 30 Days of Night, okay. 2007.
All right.
It's a good flick.
My number two, Let the Right One In. That was from 2008.
Yep.
And my number one, post 1999 vampire film, Sinners.
It's a good flick.
Okay.
It's a good flick.
Yeah. I watched it like 10 times already, and I'm seeing it one more time.
I think I've seen it
on the 22nd. I have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a bunch, but.
My first honorable mention is Underworld in 2003. That was a really cool combination of vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, it was a good movie. The whole series was actually pretty good, I thought.
I felt like the quality started to drift off after the second one, but the first one was really groundbreaking, I think. And my second honorable mention is What We Do in the Shadows, mostly because that is almost a complete comedy. is fucking great.
Yeah. I had that on mine too, so I'll just combine mine with yours.
So. The reason we eat the virgins is because if you were going to eat the sandwich, it'd be much better if you knew nobody fucked it.
Nice.
Yep.
It's a good list. Good list.
It is now whose turn? Whose turn is it now? It is Chris's turn. Okay.
Okay, so my number five is Daybreakers from 2009.
Yep, nice one. That was on my list to consider, but I did not pick
it. It's a great flick, plus a great cast, you know, like Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill, Ethan Hawke, all three guys who are in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah. Yep, good and concept. I recently picked up the 4K of it. It's a great film.
Nice. My number four is Run, Sweetheart, Run from 2022.
Oh, great film.
Man, that came out of nowhere too. I think it was like a Hulu film or something like that.
As a matter of fact, I watched that on the plane the last time we were going out to California.
Did you really?
I did.
That guy was a great vampire. Great flick.
Killed some good time on the flight.
My number three, 30 Days a Night, 2007. Which, right. Funny, we both had.
I wish they would make more from 30 Days a Night, from that vampire.
Yeah.
Because there's like five or six comic books. There's a new comic book that just came out.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, they could just go, you know, like somewhere else. You know, like, that'd be a good idea, I think.
Yeah. Siberia
My number two is not a movie, but I don't give a shit. Midnight Mass, 2021.
Yeah, I put that on my list.
Dude, such a great series. Like, it was a toss-up between that being my number one and my number two. I was back and forth.
What are you talking about? He's not a vampire. He's an angel.
Well, to some, yeah. And that was the great thing. That was the great thing about that. Like, I'm like, that's a fucking vampire, man. It's not a fucking angel. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Dude, the subtext of that show and just like all the it was great. Like I really liked it.
Another Mike Flanagan masterpiece, man.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think the religious kind of aspect.
Oh yeah.
Kind of made it a little different too, right? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, the religious aspect then plus the fact that they were economically, you know, depressed there, and so they were trying to find something to cling to, you know, for one reason or another, and the angel was their their savior.
Yep.
And so my number one then is Sinners, and again, we're going to talk about this movie, so I won't say much, but it's good. It's a really good movie.
Yep. What a film.
Two honorable mentions, All the Moons. I think we reviewed that one. I just kind of dug
it. Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Yeah.
I dug it. It was a different spin on a vampire movie, and it was bleak and sad and you know, depressing, and it was just a good spin on a vampire film.
And it sort of had a happy ending, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, it depends on what your idea of happiness is, but yes, it could be a happy ending. She put her, you know, ended her misery.
Yeah.
And my other honorable mention, well, I also had What We Do in the Shadows, but and then also the remake of Fright Night. I really enjoyed that. I know it wasn't the original one, but I thought the remake was great. I thought Colin Farrell.
I didn't watch that too many times.
I liked it. McLovin is.
It was okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, nice. All right. Very good. Very good.
I know it's purist to pick remakes sometimes is not is taboo, but I enjoyed it.
Yep. All right.
Nice.
Okay, my number five, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I think
I don't think I've seen that one.
Five. You gotta watch it tonight.
Dude, you need to watch it. What are you waiting for?
That and Human Centipede. Human Centipede. Right after that.
Nope.
Right after that. Okay, nope. Number four, Run, Sweetheart, Run.
Hey, look at that. We both had it at number four.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, no, Sal and I had five the same, and we had four the same. Number three, I went to Let the Right One In.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody else had that three.
Not at three. I think, Sal, you had it at
not at three,
two,
but
right?
I did have it.
Yep. Yeah. Number two, I had Sinners. Different from you guys. Nice. I didn't have it number one. I did 30 Days at Night as my number one.
I mean, it's a good flick.
It was close.
I know. I know.
My two were reversed. You know?
Yep. Honorable mentions. I had a bunch of the same, so I'll go Day Shift.
That's
one of my honorable mentions. That was a lot better than I thought it would be, but I pull all the moons in Midnight Mass. Those were my honorable
mentions. Nice, very good.
Yep,
Day Shift. I almost forgot about that one.
It was like I said. It was a lot better than I thought. I was like, because I wasn't going to watch it, and I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it. And it was kind of fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was.
The thing I remember about that one is they had. Limited edition edible weed.
Oh, did they?
Snoop. Gummies that were
Snoop.
Snoop Dogg blood colored day shift gummies.
Yeah, but it was an
energy. Nice.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot about that one.
I thought it was pretty good too. Yeah. That came out in, 2022 or so?
Yeah, something like that. 2022,
2023. Yeah. Damn. Great list, guys. See, we can make good lists. We just have to break up the old list into smaller subgroups or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We were too ambitious in the beginning and said, top vampire movies, top werewolf movies.
Yeah.
No. We didn't realize we'd be running out of lists. You know, we should
Who knew we'd be up to episode 91?
Yeah.
I did not think we would be going this long, but here we are. All right. Awesome. Let's move on to the movie this month. The movie this month is Sinners. Quick little synopsis. Sinners is about... trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers, played by Michael B. Jordan, return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. Directed by Ryan Coogler, produced by Ryan Coogler, Sev O'Hanlon, and Zinzi Coogler. Screenwriter is Ryan Coogler. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, in production with Proximity Media and Warner Brothers Pictures. It's rated R for sexual content, language, strong, bloody violence. The genre is horror, mystery, thriller, drama. It's an English picture. It was released April 18, 2025, and then came to stream in June 3rd, 2025. The box office in the U.S., grossed $287.5 million.
I thought it was over 300.
Worldwide, $333 million.
Yeah.
Dollars. And the film cost just under $90 million to make. It is 2-hour and 17-minute runtime.
Doesn't seem like it.
Nope. Oh, no. It went fast.
It does.
Dude, your volume just went super high, Craig. I don't know what happened.
I was going to say, me? Did I something happen with mine again?
I didn't touch anything. Is it still high?
It's very high to the point where, like, I can hear you every breath you take. I'm not sure what happened.
How's that?
Every move how's you that? Make.
I put it halfway to where it was. Is it better?
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't touch anything.
Every vow you break. yeah. So this film is fantastic. Like, it really blew my mind.
I went to see it because when you first I went to see it in IMAX because I wanted to get that experience with it. And I'm glad I did. Just because,
with the aspect ratio shifting.
Yeah, man, it was a phenomenal film. Like, and just the music, like when you in the IMAX, you could feel when they were like stomping on the clarinet. Yeah.
Stomping. Yeah, that gave you chills.
Yeah.
When they were doing stuff like that,
the blues tracks in here are just fucking amazing. That was all done by I forget the guy's name, but the whole soundtrack was done by someone who was Ryan Coogler's college roommate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He also did a bunch of other things, but. Let me see if I can find this.
Yeah, so there's a kid,
Preacher's son.
Yeah, Preacher Boy. And he plays guitar.
Plays the blues.
His daddy doesn't like it.
His father warns him that he's going to summon the devil with that music.
Mm-hmm. And his two cousins show up in town. And
Michael B. Jordan and Michael B. Jordan.
Yep, Smoking Stack Brothers. Stack Brothers.
Hey, Craig, you can turn your volume up a little bit more. It seems low now. It's weird. It was kind of erratic.
Like I said, maybe it's just me. I didn't touch anything.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it better?
Maybe your internet is so good because Chris's is so bad.
You steal my internet?
I'm just watching. Your face is like this, is like Play-Doh. It's like putty. It's like moving and shifting around.
Nice.
It's like the substance. Chris took the substance.
You know, everything looks fine in mine. Like, you guys look fine. My face looks fine. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking weird, though. I'll tell you that.
Is my sound okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, your sound is perfect. Hmm. And just your face every now and then turns into a blur that doesn't even look like a person. I'm not sure what
I'm a vampire.
Apparently. Even when you're laughing, it makes your eyes slant. It almost like those vampires from 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Chris is turning into a 30 Days of Night vampire over there. Yeah. So that film, you know, Ryan Coogler wrote it, directed, his negotiation with Warner Brothers was also in the news because of the fact that he negotiated ownership of this film.
Wow.
Which is pretty freaking amazing. The thing that really bothers me the most is watching this film and going, you know what? Ryan Coogler wanted to direct
Blade,
and he wanted it to be a period piece. And Disney said no. And then we got this.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, could you imagine what the Blade film would have been like? Son of a bitch.
I wonder if he took elements of what he wanted to do for Blade and made this movie. Like, all right.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure of it. What a freaking film, man.
Yeah, like.
And the other thing that really catches me, a lot of people are like, why have Michael B. Jordan played two characters? And I realized after when you watch a film, you don't even think about that.
No, not at all.
No.
Off of the initial gag of them passing a cigarette, you don't even think twice about the fact that it's two characters played by one guy.
Yep.
No.
Because he did such a great freaking job.
It was such a unique film too, right? It was just nothing else like it, for sure.
No.
Creative, it was unique, artsy. It was kind of cool.
There was comedy in it. There was, you know, historical relevance.
A little bit of drama.
Yeah. Little bit of like one of my favorite scenes was the scene where he was playing guitar there at the juke joint, and they started like going through the music of the ages. You got Jimi Hendrix coming out and like jamming on the guitar, And then I just like dug that scene. And then when the ashes started to rise up, because you know that was like the what she had said earlier in the beginning of the movie about the
opening the door between worlds,
yeah.
And bringing spirits of the past, present, and the future all together. Just freaking amazing. And then when they show Remick looking at the barn as it's missing, fire. Yeah, and his eyes are glowing just like the beady eyes at the beginning of the story when they tell you about these people that can play music in this way.
Yeah.
Just freaking amazing. The pictures, and all the symbolism.
That was some of the scarier parts, actually, just the
I think one of the cool things too is like
the vampire stuff, but it was like I said, just the clan and the hatred and
and that's one of the things. Like you could like I was like, are the vampires really the bad guys here? Like I was like the what he was selling to those people wasn't that bad of a thing, right? Like,
well, he was representing a bad thing. He was representing.
Yeah.
Well, let's pause right here and say we're gonna talk about this in depth and spoil a bunch of shit. So just be cautious that if you haven't seen the film, which who hasn't seen it? Come on, if you haven't seen the film and you don't want to be spoiled, pause here and come back later.
Go watch it right now.
The vampires really represented cultural appropriation and represented colonialism, you know, taking over other cultures, right? Because as he absorbs them, he gets their memories, he gets their thoughts, he gets their skills, and he shares it amongst them like a hive mind. And his thing is like, we just want to have one, we're all the equal, we're all the same. Yeah. He just tries to appropriate everything from them.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, considering...
And he turns them against each other, right? They turn into vampires, and the vampires are now, you know, sort of...
They're all one, really. They're all like
part of the
like
clan. South, they got, I mean, like
a, they're a hive mind. They become a hive mind.
But it's a clan, basically, right? It's
see, I don't know because these
it was
are
a slaughter. So the guy that sold them the juke joint,
right?
I mean, it was his intention.
Remember, he was the
intentions the were grand, to make it a slaughter. He knew that was going to happen.
Right?
No. I think he didn't know that the vampires were going to come. He intended to come and kill them the next day, as he did.
Right, he knew about that because that guy that he turned was his nephew. So he knew that now. But my thought is that, you know, this was the world that they currently lived in, and it was all, you know, the juke joint was all, you know, sharecroppers and, you know, former slaves and the Asian people who, you know, they're still like in a society that you know rejects them being a part of that society, and the vampire. Now I you know what I saw was acceptance, and they could all be you know together and fellowship. And now again, it is a hive mind, but I saw it differently than appropriation. But I could see that too.
Well, just like Remick's speech, right? When Sammy came out and started saying the Lord's Prayer, and Remick started saying it too, and then he said, the men who conquered my father's land used this same prayer. They taught it to us all the same.
Right.
And that right there is kind of the thing where it's like this is a representation of this cultural appropriation, a representation of being dominated and having your entire culture wiped out. And really, if you look at the beginning of racism and you look at the way that cultures were destroyed, Ireland is like the ultimate example, right? But if you look at old American propaganda from the 1900s and 1800s, it's, you know, keep those dirty Irishmen off of my town.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and they used religion as a weapon to do that.
To help dominate those cultures, yeah. And as justification for their atrocities, this is God's will.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It really is just, it's something that just blew my mind. It really blew my mind. I really, really, really enjoyed
that. Yeah, that's movie. What I tell people. Like, it's kind of like when I watched, It Chapter One the first time. Like, it's a good horror movie, but it's a great movie. It's just it's a great
film. A great movie altogether. Yeah, yeah.
It just happens to be a horror movie. And the horror got good, too. Like, we had all that, the first two acts to build up to it. That last third act was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You have two twins that go off to fight a war.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the army. They come back and they decide they want to change up their lives. So they go to Chicago. And the rumor is that they're working with Al Capone. And they got tired of whatever they had to do up there and decided, you know what? We're going to steal from the Irish. We're going to steal from the Italians. We're going to have them going at each other and we're going to leave town with money. And Booth. He says, I've got Italian wine. I got Irish beer. And we're going to go back home and start a juke joint and have our own gangster situation back in our hometown. And the writing, there were so many moments in the film where they say a word or they say a line. I'm like, damn, that is such a fucking great line. The writing was so superb.
Oh, I know. That's one thing that jumped out at me too, is the writing of that. It just,
awesome. Story that the blues, the piano player told about when they drove by the convicts on the road crew.
And they gave the sound effects so you could almost picture it in your mind going with those sound effects. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that story that he told, I was like, damn.
Mm. And then immediately right there, he's like, he starts into the blues. Because he's like, he's in such grief and shock from the moment. That's how he
copes.
The only thing he can do to cope is start singing the blues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what a freaking film, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just great. Just great. I even bought the soundtrack because I'm like, man, what a great soundtrack.
It was. There was a lot of really good stuff in that movie.
And at first when I saw the runtime before I went to see it, I'm like, 2 hours and 15 minutes, bro. That's a long fucking movie. Didn't feel that long.
Nope.
Didn't feel that long.
Not at all. Not at all.
And then at the end, they show Sammy all grown up, and it's played by the actual blues guitarist Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy, that was cool as hell. I loved that.
Yeah.
I was
like, the ending when he came on screen, I'm like, holy fucking shit, it's Buddy Guy!
Yeah,
goddamn, that is great.
And then that was another surprise at the end where they, the two came back. You're like, wow,
all 80s'd up,
yeah.
Well, and the first two times I watched the film, that final scene brought me to tears.
Yeah.
When Sammy or Buddy Guy turned to him and said, "Listen to me. Once or twice a month, I wake up in the middle of the night in the cold sweat, remembering that day. But up until that night, it was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Was it that way for you?" And then when he turns around, he says, "Yeah, definitely. It was the last time I saw my brother. It was the last time I felt the warmth of the sunrise."
Yep.
And I'm like, damn, the lines, the writing is so fucking good.
I know. Even the cinematography.
Yeah.
Like when they're driving in that car and it's just cotton fields in the sky. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like a perfect scene. You know what I mean? It's like, and it does, it sort of reflects when he said it was like the greatest day of my life. It made you happy looking at that, the blue sky and the
blue sky.
Yeah.
And the way they change in the theater. And I know they do it if you have a big screen TV. If you got the IMAX edition from when you watch it on TV, it'll change the aspect ratio. So when that scene happens, it goes full blown, full screen, eliminates all the black bars. So you just see blue sky and cotton fields.
Yeah.
Like what an amazing film. And there's been a lot of calls, Warner Brothers says, "Hey, I want a sequel." And I hope Ryan Coogler says no, because it's one of those films that is so well self-contained.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't need a sequel. That, to me, that film, it, standing by itself, is a masterpiece and shouldn't get fucked with.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hope that when he negotiated this contract, that he can refuse them ever making a sequel, because that would be bullshit. They would just wreck a film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that movie studios love to, like, milk the, you know, whatever out of a fucking film and let's do a sequel. It's like, come on, man. It's a self-contained film. It was fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
And they wrapped it up nicely, because here Sammy went back to the church. He grew up to become a massive blues guitarist. He named his own bar after Pearline. He released albums. We saw what happened. We know that Stack came back, and what's her name? I can't
Annie,
remember.
Was it Annie?
Annie, yeah. Mary, Annie, Stack came.
Mary?
Mary. It was Mary. Mary and Stack. We know that they lived on into the 90s and just kept going. Yep. Like, what more could you ask for? There's no need for a sequel.
No, right. I agree.
Well, I think...
Should we just give it a 5?
Well, I feel like it deserves a 5. But let's be honest. We'll do right.
Yep.
We'll go into our little spreadsheet here. And let's start talking about our ratings of this film. So we're going to take a look. And we have here... Visuals. The visuals of this film, I think, were stunning, especially the fact that they shot this film. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not. They shot this film on IMAX cameras, double 70 millimeter. That's the wide cut.
Oh, no, you could tell.
And if you look at the special thanks at the end of the film, he gives a special thanks for Christopher Nolan. You know why? Christopher Nolan consulted with him on how to shoot with an IMAX camera and get the best picture quality. So that was pretty fucking awesome.
Nice.
The visuals were amazing.
Yep.
The shifting of aspect ratios multiple times in the film was amazing. I loved it. To me, 5 stars.
Yep.
5.
Sound design. I know we talked about this a couple times, when he's telling stories and he throws in the sound effects in the background. So in your head, you're picturing the scene, even though the scene isn't even being filmed, you've got it in your head.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing. Amazing sound design. 5 stars.
5.
Yep.
The acting. Again, what a cast.
I don't think there was a weak actor in there. Everybody was good.
I think the real standout performances Michael B. Jordan. Unbelievable.
Sure. Yeah, playing two characters, too.
The girl that played Annie, what's her name? Wumini Musaka?
Oh, yeah, she was great.
She was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who was the guy that also played the old drunk?
He was great, too. Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Delroy Lindo.
Yeah, he was great. I really liked him a lot.
Delroy Lindo was a great. He played Delta Slim, and man, was he freaking great. My favorite part is when he goes, "You smell that? I think I shat my pants."
Yep.
Yeah, he was great.
Not only that, the girl that played Gracie, Lee Jun Lee.
Yeah, she was good.
That's the actress who played. When she kills, "Come on in, you motherfuckers!"
That's
fucking great. acting, 5 stars, baby. Great cast.
Yep, 5.
Story? I mean, what else can you say? That was one of the most unique vampire stories I've ever seen.
Yep, for sure.
I've never seen anything quite like that.
Yeah, it was, 5.
5. The fun and fear factor. I think it was a very fun movie.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
In the beginning, it didn't even feel like a vampire movie. They had all this stuff going on. It's like they're getting ready to put together a juke joint.
Yep.
They're going into town, getting some signs made. The scene where he comes out and shoots the two guys trying to steal from him and saying, "Well, I can't let you walk away. Like, you almost stole."
But then he pays for them to get fixed up.
Yeah,
he pays for them to get fixed up. And he teaches the girl to watch his truck about how to negotiate some money. And then you see it in action right after he teaches that to her.
Yeah.
You see him in action doing that inside the store with Yeah. So that was fucking great. All in all, even the fear parts, you know, they weren't, it wasn't a particularly scary film.
They weren't scared.
No.
But
like I said, it was the racist stuff was kind of creepy. You know what I mean? Like the vampire about it. And you know what his intentions were, and that was kind of creepy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the parts where he's drooling.
Like when they're out there drooling, playing, like, you know, that was kind of creepy. They're out there, you know, hey, you know, like they were just creepy people. You know
The drool, the vampire drool was a weird one. Like that was.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I've seen a vampire like drool. Like the drooling was different for me, but I liked it.
Yeah. Picked poor Robin clean.
So yeah, I mean, I'll do that a four. Cause like I said, it was fun. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's going to get a five regardless.
All right. You know what? I say for me a 4.5. What do you say? Yeah. You say a four. What about you? What about you, Chris?
I'm going to go 4.5 as well. It was a fun movie. It was a great movie. Wasn't scary, but like not all horror movies have to be scary. You know, it had good gore. You know, there was some decent blood and guts in it. And,
like you said, it was an absolutely fun, entertaining movie for sure. I mean, that's part of it.
Okay, so we got a 5 for visuals, a 5 for sound design, a 5 for acting, a 5 for story, 4.5 for fun fear factor with an overall rating of 5 stars.
Yep. I think is that one of our first 5s? I don't know if we've given out many 5s, if any, but
I think Mandy. Yeah, I don't. Mandy was close. Maybe Mandy was close. I think, but
let me see. I have to look because I don't have a history of everything.
That might be our first 5.
I do have it, however, in Letterboxd.
I want to say Mandy would be the closest. I think, if I can recall. But yeah, I think that's our first 5.
Let me see. I'm going to log into our Letterboxd account. And log this little bitch in there. Let's see, we'll go to. I'm gonna go to diary. Yeah, we have a 4.5 for the substance.
Okay.
Wait, how can I sort?
I mean, maybe Mandy wasn't that close. I don't know.
Let's see, 5-star ratings. We have no 5-star ratings.
Yeah. We do now.
Yeah, we do now, that's for sure. Damn, that's crazy. We didn't have any. We have several 4.5s. We've got Pearl was a 4.5. Evil Dead Rise was a 4.5.
Yeah.
X was a 4.5.
That was a good flick.
Bloodsucking Bastards was a 4.5. That one was funny. I still watch that film once a year at least. Better Watch Out was a 4.5. Color Out of Space was a 4.5. The Invisible Man was a 4.5.
That's a good
flick. Hereditary was a 4.5. And Near Dark was a 4.5. Okay. Wow.
Our first 5.
I don't remember Near Dark.
That's the one with Bill Paxton, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And what's that guy's name? The old guy.
We're going to log a new one in here. We've got Sinners 2025. We're giving that our first 5 stars. Let's save that bitch right there. Wow. 5 stars, fellas. 5 stars.
I don't have a bad word to say about that movie.
No.
Not a one.
Took almost 8 years, right? That's
Craig, do you have a Letterboxd account?
I don't.
Oh, right. All right. Wow. Well done, fellas. Another one in the bag. Wow, 5 stars. I can't believe that. I'm gonna add that to our Letterboxd top picks also and say look at that. Where is it? Bam! Look at that. Woo! Yeah, our top picks now are Mandy, Pearl, Evil Dead Rise, The Substance, and Sinners.
Yep.
It's a good list right there.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, okay. That is a wrap for this episode. I want to just take a moment and say to everybody, thank you for listening, for those of you that check in with us every month. We still don't get any feedback from everyone. That would be nice. Maybe I should put this information at the beginning. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to drop us an email, it's feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. Or if you're too lazy to write us an email or you just want to be a verbal prick, you can call 1-562-247-5855 and leave us a voicemail. If you want the voicemail to be played during the episode, you just got to make a comment that we can play the episode. We can play the message on the episode.
Maybe we should put that in the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start sticking that at the beginning.
Yeah, let's try it. See if it works.
I just fear that it's going to turn into a spam situation and just going to get a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? There are no rewards without risks.
That's right.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you, and we will have another episode up for you next month.
I guess are we going to see you soon when you're in town or no? Probably won't have time,
yep,
right?
I will be in Pennsylvania from the 10th through the 21st.
Yeah, so. Next week already. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we'll figure.